This episode is brought to you by Untuck It. Visit untuckit.com and use code CADCAST for 20% off your first order.
New old girl named Nikki, I guess she could say she was a sex fiend. I met her in a hotel lobby, masturbating with a magazine. She said, how'd you like to waste some time? And I could not resist when I saw little Nikki grind. Oh yeah, when I saw little Nikki grind.
Alright, ladies and gentlemen, welcome to CADCAST episode number 620. I'm your host, GPD, here in Long Island, New York, and as always, we're joined by a man who's also delayed to the fall, Wombat.
Mentally.
Whatever that means.
Mentally delayed to the fall.
That means if I ask you a question now, I won't hear the answer until October?
Until October.
Huh. It's going to be a long show. September 20th.
So, yeah. That's okay. That's what the fans want.
You can edit it in post.
Mm-hmm.
Right. Take out the silences.
Exactly.
Well, welcome to the show, everybody. All the games, thank all you. The big games are being delayed.
Mm-hmm.
So not a lot of big news topics to talk about.
No, it's very quiet in the game world for right now. It's very strange.
The biggest news item on my feed this week was The Witcher getting an anime.
Yes, and of course, game delays.
Game delays.
Anything happen at PAX South?
Oh,
is that was
that
just
thing?
Happened.
Thorbon was there. He did a panel.
There were no riots. So good. You know, that's always a plus.
They probably played some games.
Mm-hmm. A good time was had by all.
Sausages were probably consumed.
Mm, sausage parties were probably attended.
Yes. Hmm. Yes.
Back South.
Represent.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, I wish we had a PAX Midwest, but I'm looking for biggest news from PAX South.
I don't think that's a place where you go mm-hmm. and launch your news.
Yeah, that's like the redheaded stepchild of no offense of PAXes.
I'm not a stepchild.
doesn't make my joke less funny.
Mm.
Oh, there's actually a question in the CAG bag that I just found about PAX. Found it
go
right
for
now.
It.
At Cube00 says, coming back to PAX West anytime soon. How about a trip to East or South? What about the largest retro gaming convention in the country, Retro Gaming Expo, Portland Retro Gaming Expo? Oh, no, sorry. It's called Portland Retro Gaming. I didn't need to read the Twitter.
We already have the Long Island Retro Gaming. So,
it's hard to beat 20 minutes from our house.
Yeah, that's like the best.
And Shipwreck, you know, a free flight for Shipwreck to come and hang out.
Exactly. PAX East is in Boston. And that's,
I mean, these guys are welcome to try to make an offer better than that.
Yeah, if they reached out to us and said, hey, please do a live show at our convention, we'd probably say sure, but you know.
They'd have to, you know.
Yeah, that's what I mean. Like, they'd have to, like, really set us up, you know? Like the celebrities we are.
Right. Piles and piles of cocaine and piles of prostitutes.
Yeah, I mean, I have some stipulations in my rider that they would need to meet.
Right. Like asking us to come.
That's the first one.
And then, of course, having a convention.
And then, of course, removing all the brown M&Ms.
Yes. We went to, I've never been to East. Went to West twice. I don't know. It's a lot of people there.
I went to East the first year. The first
there's a lot of people at West.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
East is probably a lot of people too.
East, yeah, it's pretty busy.
And
they had to move
bad.
It after the first year because too many people showed up.
Yeah. I don't know. I like Long Island Retro. Big fan.
It's more our speed.
Yeah. It's good.
We're low-key people.
So I binged, I guess. I don't know. Yeah, I binged biggest PAX South news.
You Bing something? Why did you Bing something?
I don't know. I had the
browser. He likes those Microsoft rewards.
Yeah. Get those rewards. All right. So I can enter some contest and waste those rewards.
Well, I hope your third-rate results are worth the 2 cents you just earned.
The number two result for biggest PAX South news
yes.
is from December 18th, 2018.
What was the news?
Sony at PAX South 2019 with biggest show floor ever.
That's that.
Exciting. That must have been a good time that year.
That's where all that E3 money went for Sony.
Yep, that's why they can't do it anymore. They
spent it all at PAX.
Mm-hmm.
I guess Windjammers 2 was at PAX South. I'm interested in that.
Sure.
I'm glad you are.
Looks good.
Nobody's denying it.
That's our show.
Yeah. PAX. That's our PAX retrospective. I had a pretty good weekend. Long Martin Luther King Day Jr. weekend. We celebrated his memory by playing Dungeons and Dragons with.
How was that? I wanted to ask you, but I knew if I did, it would spoil the show. So, how many people played?
It was Ty and two of his friends, who were both boys, 13-year-old boys, 12 and 13-year-old boys.
Excellent. And you were the dungeon master?
I was the dungeon master. We did the introductory module that comes with the starter set, the Lost Mines of Philandar or something like that.
That's a good place to start, I would think.
It went pretty well. There were two big hurdles. One is 12 and 13 is kind of young to be start. You have to be really serious about it if you're at 12 or 13 I feel like their gut instinct is just to fuck around. So they have to really overcome that ingrained desire to just like start screaming or like kill everything, you know, just try to make people laugh. And that was really hard to overcome. So I had to like, you know, give them some direction. And also I don't, you know, they changed the rules so much since when I used to play. I had to reread all the shit. And like, I'm not very confident in knowing that I know all the rules or even like most of the rules. But I find that, you know, I got the Dungeon Master screen, which you got to get, because that hides from the other players that you don't really know what you're doing. So you can just start rolling dice and stuff and be like, oh, yeah, like this happened. Or like, oh, yeah, you know, you can make, you know, as the Dungeon Master, you can make anything happen. You know, you don't need a reason. Just, you know, roll some dice and say something happened. So it was pretty fun. I think, you know, the kids wanted to do it again. They seemed to have a good time. One of the kids, you know, one of the kids is like insisted that everybody spoke in their own character voice and have a special voice for their character. And his voice was like a British chimney sweep. But it was a woman. It was a girl. It was very weird. I gotta
Hello,
say.
Hello, Governor!
Yeah, but no. That...
Hello!
I'm
here to...
30 years younger. 30 years younger.
It's also my Terry Jones homage.
30 years younger. 30 years younger than that woman.
Hello, Governor.
No, see, like, you're doing somebody who couldn't be going on a Dungeons & Dragons type adventure. They'd be all hunched over.
Oh, here's my sword at. I'm going on an adventure.
Right. And then they asked, you know, one of the other, you know, he was like, and this kid was like, yeah, that's my voice. It's a British something, something. And like, let me hear your voice. And then the other kid, he doesn't know what he's, you know, he hasn't thought about what voice to do. So he just starts shrieking. And, you know.
It's pretty good.
Right. Because he's like, ah. No, that's not
like a siren, no words.
Perfect. I love this character.
Right. I'm like, no. Think of like, and he was a warlock. So I was like, okay, think of a, you know, and they didn't have warlock when I played Dungeons and Dragons. So I'm just like, all right, just think of a war, you know, anytime you've seen a movie or like a, you know, some cartoon and there was a warlock in it, think of what that character sounded like. And maybe come up with a voice, something like that. And he's like, oh, I've never seen a warlock in anything. I was like, well, imagine if you did. What do you think that would sound? I mean, it was hard. It was pretty hard. I feel like they need another year in the oven.
Where have you seen a warlock?
Harry Potter. Is Harry Potter a warlock?
No, a warlock is a male witch.
He's a wizard. Yeah, I know what a warlock is.
But I don't know the current Dungeons and Dragons rules description of a warlock.
I've seen the movie Warlock. Does that count? With, what's his name? Julian Sands.
I feel like a warlock is really just an unsophisticated wizard. You know?
Sure.
Like, sometimes you see Merlin in those King Arthur movies. Sometimes Merlin's like a little rough around the edges. You know what I mean?
Was it Paul Lind that was on Bewitched? See, Uncle Arthur.
Yeah, all the kids, they didn't reach into their Bewitch references.
Yeah,
no.
This is weird.
Uncle Arthur Bewitched. That was Paul Lind, right?
I don't know.
Yeah. I'm not 60 years old. I've never watched Wombat.
Yeah, it was Paul Lind. It'd be like, oh, hello, I'm a warlock. See, that would work. Just do a Paul Lind impersonation.
You would love a character in Borderlands, Wombat. That talks exactly like that.
See? It's Paul Lind. It actually was a bad Paul Lind, but that's okay.
Anyway, that was the... it was fun. I would say we played for about 2 hours. And some of that time maybe was them getting their characters together. But I don't know. It was pretty fun. Ty is completely addicted to the Adventure Zone now. And
is that why he wanted to play?
I think so. Mm-hmm. And I told him ahead of time, I said, you know... Like the night before, because he was very excited to play, and he'd planned this all out. I said, just so you know, it's not going to be like the Adventure Zone. Because, you know, those guys are all, you know, very funny guys and experienced. And we're all not that at all. So don't expect the Adventure Zone when we play tomorrow. And he was like, oh, yeah, okay, yeah, I get it.
Thanks for the pep talk, Dad. Yeah.
I said, I'm sure we have a good time and all, but like, it's not going to be like a laugh a minute, you know.
Well, if you ever need me to be the adult in the room when you play again, just let me know.
We really needed 4 people for this adventure as recommended.
I'm trying to help you out here.
So I floated the idea of, you know, what about, you know, getting Mrs. Cheapy? You know, how about Mom plays? And Ty wasn't that into that idea.
That does not.
But somehow I snuck in as like the cool dad that was allowed to play.
Well, you know, they need someone who's going to be the dungeon master.
So what I'm saying, right? That's true. Right? Good call. They're less discriminating in that way. Like, if you have a pulse and you know how to DM and you're willing, then you're in.
Yep.
But it was pretty fun. It was pretty fun. I have another sports-related story that I want to lead the show with, just because why not? That gritty article that I sent you earlier?
Yes.
Uh-huh. The dad who is... Did he officially sue the Flyers?
I don't know if it... I don't know.
Or he's sort of threatening to sue.
For those who don't know, someone who a season ticket holder for the Philadelphia Flyers went to a meet-and-greet with Gritty with his son... And his son tapped Gritty on the head. And as he was leaving, the father alleges that Gritty did a running, flying leap and punched his son in the back.
With like full strength.
Full strength. There is no film footage of this. There are no witnesses. And no one can prove that this actually happened. But go on, you were saying.
Well, he complained.
Just look at Gritty. Just look at him.
Yeah.
Well, I feel like, first of all, I feel like Gritty is pretty as a professional at this point, and he knows how to make it look like.
Not to punch kids in the back?
Yeah, he knows not to do that. But then again, Mr. Met, you know, flipped off the fans.
That's different, though.
It is, but yeah.
That's on brand for Mr. Met.
Is it? But they, in the guy's complaint to the management of the Flyers, he said that like he didn't like the picture that was taken. That was the first complaint, was the picture was blurry that they took of of him, his son and Gritty. And then Gritty punched my son in the back with full strength.
Anyway, you were telling a story.
But then he said, did you see like what he wanted? The dad volunteered some, he had some ideas of how the Flyers could make it up to him. And it was like, what was it? Like letting the kid come into the locker room?
I thought they offered that.
No, they offered the kid sitting on the bench. I think the dad went to them with some suggestions, and the Flyers went back to the dad with, how about the kid sits on the bench during the warm-up before the game?
That sounds nice.
It's just like, come on.
I thought you had some breaking news about
this. No, I just think no breaking news. I just feel like it's so obvious when somebody just wants something for free and there's no real problem there.
I wouldn't know.
Well, you're not going through...
I'm not committing fraud.
Right. You're not, you know, basically threatening to sue somebody for, you know, in like a big uncomfortable lawsuit.
No, I could say this much though. We ordered, you know, because I have this dog. So he did BarkBox for a little while. I didn't.
I literally had things in boxes delivered to your house.
I had nothing to do with the BarkBox.
Subscription boxes.
This one was not me.
Okay.
But it came like last week, and my daughter opened it up, and it was just empty. Just an empty box.
Nice. Wow.
So we emailed them back and said, hey, you sent us an empty box, and they didn't question it at all. They were like, you know, sometimes we make mistakes. Right. We'll send you out a new box.
Right.
I'm like, really? Does this happen to people like enough where there's not even like a, are you sure? Right. It was just like, nope, we'll send you a new box.
They figure like who would claim that to have happened if it didn't really happen.
Mm-hmm. And then instead of sending us the new box, they sent us the October box again.
Which is
weird because we had the stuff from the October box already.
What's going on over at BarkBox?
I don't know. So we emailed them again. It's like, we really appreciate you sending a box. You know, the treats are fine. Who cares? They're treats.
Right.
And but I'm like, but the toys are all the toys that, you know, we already had from October that are, you know, but whatever. It is what it is. I'm like, at this point, we don't really care because at least we have stuff. But it was just kind of funny. Except, like you said, what's going on at BarkBox? So
what'd they say when you told them that?
They were apologetic again, and they're like, "We're really sorry. We didn't realize it was stuff you already had. You know, we're happy to send you more things. Keep what we already sent you. You know, whatever you don't use, just donate." Right. And
right. They didn't get it. They didn't get your complaint.
Yeah, they didn't
understand. BarkBox, the only subscription box company run by dogs.
It might as well. You know what? The people, they mention their dog in every email back. It's like, Skipper and I are really sorry to hear that you weren't happy.
Oh, God. No. It's just bullshit. It's still like a person in India, right?
I don't know. Rex and I were really upset that you didn't like those treats.
Right. Rex the spider monkey.
Uh-huh. So... whatever.
BarkBox.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It was our last one, apparently, also. Again, that one I had nothing to do with, so I do not care.
All right. Yeah. Anyway.
Yeah.
I just wanted to say that I like these fake sports stories. Like, they're sort of about sports, but not really.
You mean like Derek Jeter getting into the Baseball Hall of Fame?
No, that's too much sports. I like the stuff that's like on that Brian Gumbel show on HBO. Real sports.
Mm-hmm.
You know, stuff like that.
Anything with Soledad O'Brien is aces in my book.
Right. All right. This show feedback. Oh, it's more box talk. How much box talk are we going to have?
Box talk. All right. Wendell Lemon had to say, let Wombat enjoy his different boxes if they bring him joy. Quit busting his chops over them. I found the Arby's contents interesting and look forward to hearing what future Coca-Cola boxes have to offer.
That's soda and something else that's not worth it and a gift card.
Yeah, maybe.
It's on gift card.
Maybe. And you know what? Our show listeners want to know every month.
Great.
I've got good news for you, Wombat. You have a mystery box coming from me. You.
Really?
Yes.
Oh.
We're not allowed to open it until the next show.
Okay, that's fair.
You can unbox it
I will unbox
live
it
on the podcast.
Oh my god,
that works for me. That's fun. I'm excited.
5-way subscription. 5-way of the month club.
My Cincinnati special box.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
You're not going to really read this entire next bit of feedback here.
No. And I already cut it down from what was already there. But Dran wrote a very nice long post.
Too long, Dran. What are you doing? He says that
he basically says he's been a listener for 10 years and he wanted to give us props for our enduring commitment to the show. Out of all the podcasts he listened to, he feels most in tune with ours because we're the same age and we share the same interests. And he'd just like to thank us for being a part of his life for 10 years. I paraphrased. Does that work for you, Jimmy?
That was good. I like that. That was good. Your live edit.
Thanks. I know. I got skills. Skills to pay the bills.
Right. Thanks, Dran. Thanks for listening for so long.
Mm-hmm.
Nerdy dudes, unite.
So what did you watch this weekend?
Well, we went crazy on HBO. I figured I'm paying for this thing. You know, Game of Thrones is over. I should probably get my money's worth. So we watched, we're up to date, actually, on The Outsider, which is the Stephen King miniseries.
Is it scary?
Directed by and starring Jason Bateman.
Mm.
It's is it scary? It's creepy, I would say. It's a thriller for sure. It's got a lot of forensics in it too. So if you like that type of stuff.
So is it like Bones?
I knew that was going to be what you were going to say.
Of course.
Let's talk about Bones some more since you've never seen Bones.
I've still never seen it, so I couldn't tell if it's like Bones.
Because I like shows that are like Bones. So if it's like
Bones, is very dark?
Is this
dark?
Like Bones, Cheapy? We've only established you've never watched Bones on like five episodes of this show.
So is it like Bones? Yes, Bones is dark.
Yes, it's like Bones.
Do you remember that Bones is the girl, Cheapy?
I knew that. I mean,
Booth is the man. It's Bones and Booth.
No, it's probably not like that. It's pretty dark.
So it's not
dark.
Good, is what you're saying.
No, it is very good. It's very good. It has a very cinematic feel to it.
Like Bones.
I like the cinematography.
Cool.
So
you should check out Bones. It's got cinematography.
It's got cinematography.
You know what? I think it's on one of the streaming services that I'm sure you have. I would find it hysterical if you watched an episode of Bones.
What episode?
Like not even like the pilot. You got to like skip to like the middle of season two.
Get the Gormagon story line going.
Yeah, not the end. Not the later stuff. The later Bones.
It's not later. It persisted for quite a while after Gormagon.
Gormagon?
I think that was the name,
was
right?
What it was? I'm trying to remember. I know what you're
talking
about.
I'm not going to watch Bones. I got to be honest. It's probably not going to happen. I mean, it could happen, but probably not.
Yeah, Gormagon. Nailed it.
Yep.
The other HBO show that we started watching is a new show called Avenue 5, which takes place on a space cruise ship.
I meant to watch that. Is it good?
It had some laughs.
Okay, some laughs.
I would continue watching it for sure.
Okay.
Yeah, it was enjoyable. It's, you know, it's tough to get these like 30-minute adult comedies to find good ones. Yeah. So, Josh Gad is in it.
He's funny.
Who's the other guy? I don't know. I didn't really know any of the people.
Hugh Laurie is in it as well.
Yes. Yeah, I don't really know who he is.
You don't know who Hugh Laurie is?
I mean, I recognize the guy's face, but I would never say, Hugh Laurie.
You don't know what the show House was.
I never watched that. I never watched
same
that
conversation
show.
Every
I know.
Time.
We've talked about this a billion times. Never watched House or Bones. I don't watch TV shows that have
I never watched House really either. It's not my kind of show.
Right.
It's kind of like Bones.
But I know who House is. Nah, House is like serious Bones. I don't need serious Bones.
Maybe early it was serious. It got a little wacky.
It did get, yeah, I think you're probably right. I think as House got more wacky, Bones started to take itself too seriously. It was like a little flip-flop there. But that's, that's for my dissertation for college.
You know, I'm not interested in Bones, and I'm not interested in House, but I would be interested in a show called Bones House.
Or House Bones.
Or how? Bones House, House, I think.
Bones House?
Yeah.
Bone House.
House Bones, I don't know what that means.
You know
Bones
what?
House,
if, they
can picture
that,
a house.
If that show came out with yeah. Hugh Laurie and older Deschanel's sister, I would watch the hell out of that. Like they're like a crime solving doctor duo team. I'd be on board.
Bones House.
Bones House. Make that happen.
Right. What else we got here and watch this bitches?
We had like an 80s movie night weekend at my house because Elliot decided he wanted to watch, he wanted to watch Ferris Bueller's Day Off. I don't know why, but he got it in his head that that was a movie he wanted to watch, so we watched it. And he thoroughly enjoyed it. He loved it.
Huh.
Yes, he loved it. He liked it a lot. He liked
what
it.
Did he like about it?
He understood a lot of the jokes, which was nice. You know, Cameron Fry does the funny voice on the phone, you know. Hey, Rooney, you know,
part of my French, but you're an asshole.
He understands that that's funny. That's universally funny. Making the cough, fart, burp noise keyboard song. That's universally funny.
Right.
You know, singing on the float is universally funny. Like, you don't have to be an adult to get that. There's definitely jokes that are going to go over his head, but that's fine.
Just so, themes in general, too.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
But there's also jokes in there that I'll get. He also watched Goonies over the weekend.
How did he even know that that movie existed?
Probably Teen Titans would be my guess, but I'm not
sure. Oh, could be. Yeah.
Interesting.
Because they reference everything. Hmm. So that, and yeah, and same with Goonies, which he had never seen before. And
how did he like
liked
Goonies?
It. He liked it, but he didn't like it as much as Ferris Bueller.
It's kind of not that good, Goonies.
It's fine. It's not great. And then we tried to watch Men in Black International.
Right. Ooh,
did you try watching in 4DX? It's the only way.
He fell asleep halfway through.
That's why you need the 4DX.
You got to kick the couch.
That is a boring movie.
He fell fast asleep. And he's like, yep. I just want to go to bed. I'm like, no problem, buddy.
That is a movie that has no chemistry between actors who had chemistry in other movies.
It's weird, right? It's weird. Yeah, they're all phoning it in, and I mean, I know in the Marvel movies they're filming all behind blue screens also, but for some reason in this movie it just feels like blue screens. Like they're not in the desert. They're just hanging out in a room somewhere, and it feels like they're hanging out in a room somewhere, and it's weird. That's my review of Men in Black International.
Yeah.
You know what else is weird? I saw Cars 2 for the first time.
Yeah.
Okay.
I've seen that.
What are some of the scenes in that movie? What are they doing there? They're like torturing and killing cars.
Oh, like, this is the spy one, right?
Yeah, it's the spy one.
Yeah, it kind of sucked.
Yeah, I mean, it's fine. Like, it picks up in like the second half. But the scenes where they're like doing the interrogation and then they just straight up murder the cars...
Yeah, like, they didn't think that one through.
Right. It's like, wait. Dash just like looked at me. I'm like, ah, they'll fix him later.
Son, they needed the spare parts. Times are tough in the cars world, and they'll be repurposed.
Yeah. What a weird sequel to that franchise.
Right. Why not make it like, you know, Star Wars themed? Like, it's just so random. It's like, let's pick a movie genre. And
well, the genre, the like the tropes in it make sense. Like, there's plenty of spy movies that have the European coast like race going on.
Sure,
well.
Sure. But
it's just
why?
Right. It's just weird.
We get lazy.
We also watched Iron Giant. My kids saw that for the first time.
Did everybody cry?
Just me, I think.
Right. Good.
But I was prepared for it.
Right.
And then, it was,
I don't understand. Why would you cry during a movie?
Yeah.
I'm so, not a gun.
Right. And then, Dash got the Iron
Vin
Giant
Diesel's finest performance.
Yeah. There's like a $20 Iron Giant walking Iron Giant toy that talks. He says, I am Superman at Walmart. It's well worth the $20. Unfortunately, like, he was all into it when he unwrapped it. And then I set it on the floor and it started walking and Emmeline started screaming. Not like she was just like playing around, like she was
right,
in a movie
right.
or whatever.
She knows it's not a, it's just a
right.
toy.
But then Dash took that literally. So now he's only allowed to walk away from Dash. Like, he can't walk towards him.
Oh, because he's scared. He thinks he should be scared of it.
Yeah, like, it's fine. He's like fine, like, watching it walk, and he likes the toy.
Doesn't want it coming at him.
He doesn't want it coming at him because right. he thinks it's right. coming to get him.
Yeah. I get that.
It's good instincts. Yeah. We got him that, and there's a Robbie the Robot from Forbidden Planet.
Okay.
That's I'm sure he gets the reference.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. exactly. He's really into Forbidden Planet.
Mm-hmm. He loves Leslie Nielsen in his early work.
Yep. It sounds like the toy says "Welcome to Hell, gentlemen," but it's saying whatever planet they're on, I think. Mm-hmm. But they're neat toys.
Cool.
Yeah, I hope they come out with
Walmart
more robot
in a very long time.
You should check out Walmart sometime.
Maybe I will. I need to find more of those Batman toys anyway.
They have them there.
I know.
All right, is that it for Watch This Video?
Yes, in Toy Corner. Yes.
And super nerdy.
It's a slow week, okay, people?
Mm-hmm.
It's a very slow week for
videos. I almost bought those $10 Batman Hot Wheels cars. They have like
those are very fancy looking.
I know, but I didn't have the space for the junk. Mm-hmm. I just saved my $10.
It's probably a good idea.
I bought the reissued Astro Train.
Oh,
how much they get for a reissued Astro Train?
$40, I think it was.
What?
30 or 40? I can't remember.
What? I'm looking that up right now.
I'm so glad I was never into Transformers.
Walmart Astro Train. It was $50, motherfucker.
No, it was not. It was not.
It says $49.90.
That's like a third party seller or something.
Okay. Well,
it was definitely either $30 or $40, and I was more than happy to pay it. Because pretty much I was just there and went, holy crap, Astro Train.
Right.
Right? That's the reasoning behind
it. I would have bought it too if I saw it.
Right. Like, you're not just expecting to see Astro Train on the shelf.
Right. Is this really, it doesn't quite look like.
You might be looking at a different version of Astro Train.
Vintage. Yeah, this could be wrong. This could be wrong.
But they had that important. And they had a Soundwave. The Soundwave was definitely $50. But I have Soundwaves.
I feel like if Soundwave's $50, Astro Train's going to be $50.
No, he was cheaper.
Value. Yeah. I can't figure it out. It's too hard. But you know what's not hard and what I can figure out? Untuck it. Ever wonder why traditional button-ups look so long and baggy? That's because they were never meant to be worn that way. Untuck it shirts were specifically designed to be worn untucked. And Untuck It is the original Untuck shirt. And no matter your size or shape, their shirts are the perfect untucked length. Like a lot of you, I've been frustrated with shirt shopping in the past because my body type, I feel like being tall, it limits my options. But with more than 50 fit combinations, Untuck It made the process painless. Untuck It shirts look great on tall, short, slim, and athletic guys of all ages. That's all of us, Wombat.
I am short.
And you're a guy of all ages.
I am a guy. And I do have Untuckit shirts that I love.
Yeah, that's my go-to if I have an occasion that calls for a collared shirt and long sleeves. I have two Untuckit shirts that it's automatic choice for those occasions.
Yeah. I wore an Untuckit sweater today.
Wow.
You have a sweater?
I do. I got one of their sweaters. They have things other than just the like button-up shirts.
Now, I have a t-shirt from Untuck It that I like a lot, a Henley.
The sweater's Henley. Nice.
Yeah. I once got a shirt from Untuck It.
It fits so well, you ordered another one.
It.
Okay. Anyway, you guys can try Untuck It for yourself. Visit untuckit.com and use code CADCAST for 20% off your first order. They even order free shipping and returns on all orders in the U.S. That's untuckit.com and promo code CADCAST for 20% off your first order. Thanks, Untuck It. Let's do the new releases.
Okay, Dragon Ball Z Carrot came out.
That's Kakarot.
Mm-hmm.
Carrot. No, it's pronounced Kakarot.
Oh.
As in a duty that's been sitting around too long.
I understood.
We played this at E3. This is the open world Dragon Ball Z game.
Oh.
It seemed pretty solid. Like I fought a dude for what it seemed like a half hour.
So. Right. I when you just said we played this at E3, I felt like a shudder through my body. No, something bad happened.
It seems like a pretty good game if you're into Dragon Ball. But right. At the same time, I can't judge things if you like Dragon Ball or not. Like right. Maybe people who like Dragon Ball will hate this. Who's right. to say? But it's got the same like cel-shaded graphics that they've been kind of nailing on these Dragon Ball games for years now.
Yep.
I don't know. How's it scoring? Is it still all right?
I don't know.
You haven't been watching the Metacritic on this?
I feel like they come out with a new Dragon Ball Z game every 4 months. So who can even keep up? When the name is something like Kakarot.
That's Goku, right?
I don't know.
It's literally, they're all named after vegetables.
It's not something I can just get into like Doggy Ninja.
Kakarot is not a vegetable.
It's a play on carrot.
It is?
Yeah.
How do you know? How would you know that?
He's watched every episode.
My freshman college roommate was a big Dragon Ball guy.
God, my freshman college roommate was a drug dealer.
Well, he was that too, but he also liked Dragon Ball.
Really? I didn't have a roommate my freshman year. Woo-hoo. I had a single.
That would have been better.
It was awesome.
He also had a 3DO, so we played a lot of Samurai Showdown.
Wow.
Yep. He was gone after the first semester, I think. Oh.
What else we got in new releases?
What else do we have?
I don't know.
Way too much about Dragon Ball.
Doggy Ninja, the Burning Strikers.
Oh, it's got a subtitle.
Mm-hmm, the Burning, not to be confused with the other Doggy Ninja games.
Well, how is it?
I would not know. It's $8. That's how it is. You got Robots Under Attack.
You got Jurassic Excite.
Super Crush bad. KO to the Moon.
All bad.
Far Out.
Oh, there's a game that actually exists. Tokyo Mirage Sessions FE Encore came to the Switch. That's one of the last remaining Wii U exclusives. People will be excited about that. That's a Shin Megami Tensei game, right? You guys know about this.
Yeah, sure.
Hold on. Let me check my Shin Megami.
You probably already have it on Wii U, don't you?
Right.
Does anyone know anything about the world is ruled according to sexual prowess, so I'm playing dirty to get my harem episode 1?
It's coming out on PC this week.
Yeah, that doesn't help me.
I bet you the SEO is great on that. Yeah, came right up. No problem.
I'm sure it'll be the first thing.
I'm looking.
Yeah, it's Fire Emblem and Shin Megami Tensei together at last. That's what you guys were waiting for, right?
Didn't want to just
get one of those franchises.
Yeah, screw Cyberpunk. I was waiting for this. All right,
that's enough new releases. Yeah,
I think so.
We're done.
It's brutal.
We're done here.
Let's move on to news, multi-platforming, and Wombat's Rainbow Sexy Talk. Well, the big news is all the good games are being delayed. All the big games are being delayed. I don't know if they're good.
Yeah, no fall, no no spring releases, late winter, whatever we want to call it.
Right. Cyberpunk and Avengers got delayed within like 2 days of each other. I think like Avengers made the announcement first that they were delaying till, what did they say? They said
September.
September, and then Cyberpunk picked
also
a specific
around the same
date.
Time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, a specific date in September.
And then Dying Light 2.
Mm-hmm.
Said whenever.
Well. Right. They're like, I don't know. Well, we've seen that at two E3s. It has looked close to complete, like in that state. Like, I realize, like, it's not the full game. They might be showing slices of it, but it has looked very good at two E3s. So that one surprises me a little bit that they're like, nope, not quite.
I always felt like we hadn't seen enough of Cyberpunk.
Fair.
I said that a couple of times. I actually got a lot of nasty messages the last time I said we talked about this game. Man, I said I think it's going to be delayed. So
people really wanted it to come out as soon as possible.
I know.
So they
I knew
not
it wasn't
want to hear any
to.
Of that.
But it never looked it. They never showed enough to make me go, "Oh, this game's going to be ready soon."
Right.
It always kind of looked like it was for next gen, yeah. Right?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's probably the smart play. Didn't we talk about Avengers? Didn't that happen just before we did the last show? I feel like we talked about that a little bit.
It was the day after Avengers was delayed, they announced Cyberpunk.
Yeah.
Something like that.
Yep, so, you know, whatever. It's all for the best, I guess.
Right. Mm-hmm. I wrote a proposal. Some company contacted me, some retailer contacted me, and they wanted me to like come up with some advertising proposal. So I came up with something, and it was revolved around the release dates of major titles that were coming out this year. I sent them the proposal, and then literally the next day, Avengers got delayed. And then, you know, and I have the dates all on this proposal. And then the day after, Cyberpunk got delayed. I was like, I just had to send them a whole new thing. I was like, you know, things are moving.
Congratulations?
No. I meant things are moving in the...
Oh.
The dates are moving.
Gotcha.
No, nothing's moving. Nothing good is moving. Let's move on to... Well, what do we got? Oh, I've been playing a game that's multi-platform. I think it is. Darwin Project? So.
I know it was on Early Access on the Xbox for a long time because they sent me a code like over a year ago.
Yeah. Well, it officially released as a free-to-play game, at least on PC. I think it's probably free-to-play on Xbox, or...
I don't know.
I'm not sure. We may never know. But I've been playing a little bit of it. It's another battle royale game, but it's specialized enough to maybe catch your interest. It's, I think, 10 people or 12 people. The hook is that it's more like Hunger Games. So there's not only are there players, but there's one person who's like the game director, and they have access to controlling some things that are going on in the game, and including their microphone being on at all times. So they're sort of simulating like you would hear the person over the PA system. In the arena, although they should add some sort of, I don't know, some effect to make it sound more like that and not just somebody talking on a gaming headset.
Oh, like some echo, like.
I don't know,
all right,
echo, but.
Get ready for the water.
Yeah, so I don't know what, but something. They need to add a little something to it. But the, you know, the combat, it's a third person combat where, and you have an axe and you have a bow and arrow and you have to craft arrows. You have to craft a fire to keep you warm because you can freeze to death. There's some traps you can craft. You can also, like, there's a few different classes. So I take the guy who can fly. It's the only one I've ever taken. It's pretty fun.
And why would you take anyone else? Who wants not guy who could fly?
Right. That's what I felt. I felt like, which is the guy most like tribes?
Mm-hmm.
So I did that. I don't know. I've been having fun with it. I got to level 5, so I just unlocked being able to be the game director, but I haven't actually done it yet. But I feel like it could be fun. You know,
it sounds like it could be fun.
You do like a game show voice.
Yeah, I've been playing more Fortnite, so who knows? Maybe I would like this too.
Yeah.
They had a whole new set of challenges come out, and I needed to get the gold 8-ball costume. And guess what? I got the gold 8-ball costume. I know you're
impressed. How are you doing this?
What do you mean, how?
I feel like this is hard, and you're somehow able to...
You know what? There's still this one challenge that I haven't been able to do to get the last costume for the level 100 guy on this season.
Throwing the guy off the cliff.
Throw the guy off a cliff. I haven't been able to do that. I've gotten, you know, I've knocked guys out, but whatever distance I throw them from is never high enough to cause damage. Even if I think it is, it never is. And I've done that like 7 times to the point where I'm like, I'm just frustrated. So, but I've done a lot of other things like get the gold 8-ball costume, which made me happy. And I did that in like 3 days.
Mazel tov.
So I posted the clip on my Twitter. Did you see me get that cool sniper shot?
No.
Oh, I once shot at someone with a sniper from over 100 meters away. It was pretty cool.
Mazel tov.
Look at my tweets. I thought it was impressive.
Good. I'm excited for you.
Yeah, I'm like,
I didn't know that you had the skill. How come you have the skills all of a sudden now?
What's I don't know. On? I'm over level. I'm like a level 151, I think, at this point.
Ship, is what's happening here in Fortnite, you can get away with just standing still and shooting people?
I saw his sniper kill.
Yeah.
He was standing still and a guy was running on a roof. I mean, it's a good shot.
Right. Yeah. But he wins, though.
Yeah, I've won.
Yeah. I mean, more than once, right?
Yeah, I've won a couple of times. I come in second a lot, which is sort of, you know, whatever. I'll take it. So, you know, what can you do? Nobody's perfect. I don't know.
We need to get you on Call of Duty.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm not spending that much money on a game right now.
$35.
I know. Feel free. That's what I have to say about that. And you and I can play together. See?
I don't need it that bad.
Exactly. Exactly.
I got to hook up with my deli guy still.
Yeah. You have to save your money to buy more dice. Dungeons and Dragons.
Ty bought his own dice.
Nice.
Used his birthday money and bought some $10 dice. It's like crazy. We live in a world now where you can order dice with next day delivery from Amazon, you know. Included in Prime and like your choice of dice, like any like dice that you can imagine that comes in a day. What a world.
Very exciting. So we got Ty's this
pretty
on
excited.
I bet he is. Atlas Shrugged 80 on Twitter asked if any of us are playing Children of Morta now that it's on Game Pass. He said it might be the best game of 2019 that he played.
I've heard good things about it, but I don't know a thing about it.
I played it over the weekend.
Well, why don't you tell me about
it? Is it a roguelike RPG. It has a sort of retro graphic style, but it's also very fluid in its retro graphic style. It's a dungeon crawler. Think like a Diablo style game where you're going through dungeons. You're killing lots of spiders and skeletons and that kind of stuff, leveling up your character. And if you die, you lose all of your progress in the dungeon, but you get to keep your level and your gold. So you can, you know, buff up your character a little more and try it again. I am not very good. I could get up to the boss at the end of the first dungeon, and then I die when I get to the giant spider. Every time. Now, mind you, I didn't play that much, so I probably just need to, you know, buff myself up a little bit more. But so far, so good. Also, I think the game is probably better with co-op. I think Ship would like it because there's a couch co-op element to it. Yeah.
Mm.
So you should both check it out because A, it's on Game Pass, and B, it's very good. So, yep, play it. You can tell me what you think. You know, I would probably prefer it if it didn't have that reset yourself if you die. But, you know, what can you do?
Oh, it's an action RPG.
Yeah. It's like a Diablo-style game. Am I speaking the language that you're not understanding? Am I not explaining it well?
RPG part. Sounds good. I'm going to check it out since it's on Game Pass.
Yeah. It's worth checking out. I recommend it.
I like it.
It's nice. It's a nice looking game, and I'm usually not a fan of the retro style graphics, but I like it in this game.
I like it.
Cool.
I'm excited. I want to remember to download that. All right, let's move on to Sony. Somehow last week when we were talking about Sony skipping E3, we forgot to talk about the statement that the ESA released after Sony said they were skipping E3 again. I know that you really enjoyed it a lot, Shipwreck. Have you finished your analysis of the statement? Let me read the statement first.
Go ahead, yeah.
Because I was thinking about it as I put it on the outline, trying to analyze this statement. So pay attention, everybody. It's very important. This is the ESA on Sony's skipping E3. Exhibitor interest in our new activations is gaining the attention of brands that view E3 as a key opportunity to connect with video game fans worldwide. Somebody thought that that was actually a sentence and that should be used.
It's some pretty extreme marketing speak.
But like, if you take that sentence apart, what are they really saying?
They're saying that they have some new deals on booths or new opportunities on booths. Whatever they're selling, they've come up with a new way to sell those.
Activations?
Yeah. That's what they're getting at.
They're saying exhibitor interest in our new activations is gaining the attention of brands that view E3 as a key opportunity. So brands that view E3 as a key opportunity to connect with video game fans are paying attention to the exhibitor interest.
Right. So people are interested. So there are exhibitors that are interested in connecting with fans, and that's gotten attention from other brands.
Right. So no, but only from the brands that view E3 as a key opportunity.
Think of it this way. So Shipwreck is interested in connecting with me,
right?
And that's getting your attention.
Yes. Yes. And they have exciting new ways to connect the three of us with video games worldwide.
It's a well-crafted sentence.
It's totally marketing speak.
But who looks at that and says
it's not marketing speak? That's PR speak. It's two different.
PR. Well, it's both really, because it's the teams that are trying to sell E3 to companies. Right? Like, they're trying to say, like, oh, no, we're all good. It's just...
So the brands that aren't skipping E3...
They're into it. The brands that are not skipping E3 are into it. Or the brands... So, like, this could be, like, Doritos is a brand. And they're interested in connecting with video games fans worldwide via that... I don't know. That Sega is... interested in these new opportunities that
Sega still has a booth.
Sega has a booth. Sega and Atlas have a booth. That's where you can find your Shin Megami Tensei games.
It's definitely going to sell tickets.
They're looking to sell booths.
They're looking to sell fucking anything.
I keep checking to see if media passes if it's time to register for those yet.
Right.
And it is not. And I want to say that was in the recent years, that's been in late January, early January even.
I'm not sure. You always do it right away.
I always do it right away. That way I can know if I need to book a flight or not. I'm trying to save you money.
Thank you.
You're welcome. You'd be interested. That's the kind of activation that you should be interested in.
It is. Oh, E3.
They needed to, if they were going to release a statement, they needed both this statement that's really, this isn't going after the video game. This isn't talking to video game fans.
Right.
This is talking to the business opportunities.
Right.
That they want to get out of this. It's for exhibitors.
Right.
they needed to have both a statement for that and be like, hey, we got all of these cool video games for all you gamers out there.
Right. Mountain Dew. They also should have just said, hey, Sony didn't come last year and it was fine. Everybody had a great time. Fuck them. That's official statement. Also, activations.
Right. Also, maybe court Microsoft back to the actual show.
Aren't they coming back?
Remember last year they were in their own theater.
Well, they had Mixer, right? Mixer, and
stuff. But then if you actually wanted to play Xbox,
right, games, you had to go to the next. You had to leave.
You had to go to the next building.
Yeah, hopefully two buildings not like over that again.
It's a pretty sweet setup for Microsoft.
Sure.
It's like, hey, wait in this line just for our stuff, and then after you wait in this line, you're not going to want to leave.
Right, you've already invested.
Right, wait in this line to have your opportunity to wait in more lines inside. Yeah.
Yes, wait in this line in the direct sunlight, and then we will remove the sunlight with the more lines. All right, speaking of Microsoft.
Yes.
Somebody leaked a picture of the Xbox Series X prototype and showed off its delicious back ports.
Sounds yes. dirty.
I know. I was disappointed. There's no place to put your penis.
Well, you know, maybe in the HDMI.
No, it's another missed opportunity for a next gen console. The ultimate.
No penis hole?
No penis hole. I mean, come on. Aren't we there yet with the. Forget 8K. We don't need 8K. We need penis hole.
We need PK.
Penis.
It's not. A pretty limited port selection on the back of this thing, I'd have to say.
So far.
Two USBs, a LAN cable, and HDMI, and digital.
Split.
Optical.
Yeah.
What's that
We're
rectangular one?
Assuming that that's probably like a debug cable.
Yeah. Oh.
Where's the connect go?
Maybe there.
Right.
I will say that I am disappointed but not at all surprised that this doesn't have a HDMI in.
Pass through on it. Yeah, well,
I did use it at one point. I used that.
I still use it.
Do you?
Yes, I still use it. I find it that it frees up an HDMI slot, and it works.
You like it?
It does work.
I do like it. I thought that was a neat little feature of it, but at the same time, I'm sure they crunched the numbers and there's not enough people using that.
No, passing through their cable through their Xbox.
Yeah, I mean, you can pass anything through there, but yeah.
I know, yeah. That's what I did for a long time until I got the 1X. That's when I stopped, when I didn't have a Kinect anymore. It was fun when I could say, you know, Xbox on, and it would turn on and it would go directly to TV. But I don't have that luxury anymore.
Party's over.
Yeah. And I don't miss it, which is worse.
Right. While we're talking about Microsoft, A Coconuts writes in and says, A Plague's Tale is coming to Game Pass tomorrow, and I've heard nothing but great things about the game. I can't imagine the game sold well at all. Oh, it might have. I don't know. Could have sold. I think it probably sold fine. But it will be highly talked about in the next coming weeks by people. This is the main reason I love Game Pass, and I think it will help next gen. Well, first of all, it's a great game, and you should definitely play it. And second of all, yeah, that is a great thing about Game Pass. This game, which I think, you know, the critics who did play it seemed to really enjoy it. But
it was one of your favorite games of last year.
It was the favorite.
Was it number one? Wow.
Yes.
Wow.
It's a great game. Did you try it?
Yeah, I have it.
Well, try it more.
try
harder.
Don't tell me what to do. I have a fishing sim world to play tomorrow.
Ugh. I bought the train simulating game on PC that has the Long Island Railroad on it.
And?
I haven't got to the Long Island Railroad part yet.
Oh.
I just played like 5 minutes. It was $12. It was $12 for like the game and so much DLC. Loud phone talkers not included. I do not understand how people have these personal phone calls on like commuter rail, like just so loud. Like, don't you know how loud you are? Like, everyone can hear everything you're saying.
Some people don't care.
But I think they want people to hear. They want other people to be involved.
I get it.
I don't. What the fuck is wrong with people? Let's move on to Nintendo. Where Shipwreck's going to talk about a big release.
Mm-hmm. We talked about last week.
Oh, yeah.
Did you not pick it up?
Shanafan sent it to me.
Did he? Did you play it?
Nikki the Home Alone Golf Ball.
What else would we be talking about?
Of course. The only big release of recent times. I got it on Steam.
Oh, okay.
Now.
Did you play it?
I started it.
Okay.
Did I read correctly that you finished this game?
Mm-hmm. It's maybe an hour long at most.
The fuck is wrong with you?
Why?
I liked it. You liked when you shoot the ball up and it falls all the way back down to the bottom and you have to go all the way, start all the way up again?
The trick is that you don't want to do that.
I understand that, but eventually, you know, it's like trial and error. I don't even know where I'm supposed to go, and I'm shooting
this
golf ball.
That's the charm of the game, yeah.
No. Like
yes.
No charm.
That's the charm.
Charmless.
Did you even get out of the house?
I got to the roof.
Okay.
I played 11 minutes, according to Steam.
Okay.
So I got to the roof.
That's good.
And then I got down, and I tried to get back up again.
I thoroughly got my 49 cents worth out of this game.
Maybe it's better with the Switch controls compared to mouse and keyboard.
It might be because that could be because you're playing touchscreen on Switch.
Right.
So you probably, it's maybe
feels
more, yeah, it may just feel better to do the little drag and flick type thing. I don't know. I liked the kind of, crap, you got me, stupid game, and I fell all the way back down to the bottom, and now I'll work my way back up again.
How did you like the narrator, which was just a computer synthesized voice?
I was completely on board with that.
So bad.
It's so good. Oh, yeah. It ticked all the boxes for me.
See, this explains why you like the new Star Wars movies. It's just like, it's fine. Like, it's just a thing. You can do it. Get point A to point B. Golf balls. Nikki. Right, Wombat?
Yes.
What are you doing right now?
I don't know. I stopped listening to you.
He's playing Nikki the Home Alone Golf Ball.
The golf ball game. Oh, I'm sorry. Was I supposed to give that my undivided attention?
Oh, you're supposed to understand. If you played this game and you heard that Shipwreck finished it, you would call, like, I don't know, medical.
It's got a little bit of, like, I don't know, like Super Meat Boy style of, hey, this is brutal. Let me keep playing this.
Okay, I'm moving on. Let's move on to the G.I. Joe game on the phones.
It's also probably brutal.
It's terrible.
Oh, man. I've played about, I don't know, maybe 30 minutes of this.
It's not fun. That's the
What's
problem.
It called?
G.I. Joe War on Credit Cards, I think is the name of
no,
it.
No.
G.I. Joe the War on Cobra? Is that what it's
yeah,
called?
Yeah, War on Cobra is what it's called. But within, like, you're playing the game and, like, learning through the tutorial, and you literally do, like, three moves, and then all of a sudden it's teaching you at least four different types of currency.
Yeah, that is the problem. I was going to say complain about the same thing. It's like, okay, so you need the rubies to do this, and then you need the oil to do this. And then you need the coins to do this, and then you need gold to do this. And there's also these other different color coins that if you want to do this. And there's three different color coins. There's oil, there's rubies, there's gold, and there's diamonds. And every one of those things does something different. And all of them can be purchased.
Mm-hmm.
Same.
Yeah, like it during the tutorial, like you're sent to the store.
I've never seen like a game that deserves to be a miserable failure more than this.
Yikes.
And I don't wish failure upon things. There are people that work hard on this and probably didn't want to do this, but they either need to be like, okay, we get it. It's confusing and annoying. So now it's just now it's just rubies. Like, here you go. Now it's just rubies. You just need rubies to do everything.
Right. Just pick one Smurf berry. We don't need all the varieties of this.
Right.
Because it's that game. It's the Smurf game with G.I. Joes, but with five different currencies. And to be perfectly honest, not enough G.I. Joe action.
I knew I was in trouble when, like, the second vehicle that you deploy, like, the first one's the Mobat, the standard G.I. Joe tank. Mm-hmm. I'm like, okay, I'm on board. And then the second one is, like, this G.I. Joe boat that never existed.
Yeah, it's not G.I. Joe-y enough.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. I agree.
Yeah.
Don't use the license well enough, and the currency is confusing. I give it a 1 out of 30, and that's that.
Yikes.
Yeah, it's the exact reason why I'm, like, thrilled with Apple Arcade is because I don't have to go trying these games like this anymore.
Funny story about Apple Arcade. I thought no one in my family was using it, so I ended the subscription.
Uh-huh.
And my daughter went and renewed my subscription. Like,
welcome back.
The day after my subscription ended, she goes, I got a notification that I have now subscribed to Apple Arcade. I'm like, who did that? Sabrina didn't know I had canceled it, so it's not like it's her fault that she hit the wrong button. She thought we still had it. So, but I didn't know she was that the kids were still using it, because they never showed me that they were interested in it. So whatever, we'll figure it out.
Maybe get her on the free to play G.I. Joe or on Cobra instead. Oh man, I would be happy to play this game if they just stripped out all of that stuff, and it would be like, here, $5. We made it so you can just, like, sit here and play this game.
Yeah, they didn't do that.
No, they did. They did the opposite of that.
They're like, you want to buy rubies? It's $20. You want to buy gold? It's $20. You want some diamonds? $20. Stupid G.I. Joe game.
Yeah. All right. Plenty of loot boxes as well.
Mm-hmm.
Don't forget those.
Oh, all right, boy. Let's move on to the CAG bag. Go, Joe. Right? At Shanafan. Oh, we have two Mr. Peanut related questions. Okay. At Shanafan writes in, he said, Planners killed off Mr. Peanut. Who wore the monocle better, Mr. Peanut or Dr. Mindbender from G.I. Joe? Huh?
It's a tough one. It's tough to pick anybody who wore a monocle bad.
Yeah, everyone looks good in a monocle.
Can't fuck up a monocle.
Right.
So why did I haven't really been following this Mr. Peanut thing. So what, Planters announced that Mr. Peanut died?
They murdered him.
He died in a car accident.
Yep.
No.
Rescuing Wesley Snipes from certain death.
Have you not seen this, Chibi?
No. What happened? What do you mean? He died in a car accident.
Peanut Mobile, and it went off a cliff.
Oh, really?
And then he sacrifices himself and falls down the cliff to where the Peanut Mobile was at, and then the Peanut Mobile explodes.
So have they announced his replacement yet?
They haven't, but I know that Mr. Cashew has been waiting a long time for this.
Wait, is Wesley Snipes in the commercial?
Yes.
Oh. How is he involved?
He loves peanuts. Duh. Everyone knows that Wesley Snipes famously loves peanuts.
Like, it's a pretty hard thing to pass on if Planners comes to you and say, hey, we want to kill off Mr. Peanut. Are you on board?
No, but why? What is he doing in the commercial, I'm saying?
It's him and it's Matt Walsh from Veep. And they're in the Peanut Mobile. And it goes off a cliff, and then they're hanging off of... I can't believe I'm describing a commercial.
Right. Way to go, Planners. You did it.
Okay. You know what? Enough of that. Watch the stupid commercial.
Are they going to have, like, a new, younger, hipper mascot?
They have it. We don't know. All we know right now is that Mr. Peanut is dead. Buckwheat is dead.
I think they're gonna bring him back.
Robo Peanut. No, that's not really good. Yeah. People don't want to.
What if they
robots.
Go the route of like when Superman died and all the fake Superman showed up?
And by the way, my answer to the Coke Comics at Coke Comics, which brand mascot would you make disappear? GPD. Yes. GPD is the brand mascot that I would make disappear.
Like totally disappear?
Maybe.
Like I would disappear?
After this last conversation? Yes.
Yikes. Big yikes.
Hachi machi.
At Brock Arnett writes in and asks, what game do you think will be the biggest letdown of 2020?
Avengers.
Could be.
They're focusing too much on monetization.
Well, and we don't know that.
Yes, we do.
We do.
How many different kinds of currency do they have?
It's like, okay, these are the characters. Oh, and there's going to be more characters for you to buy and new outfits for you to buy.
That sounds good.
I don't want it to be to buy. I want to know what the game is going to cost.
You buy. We know what the game is. It's Destiny, but Avengers.
But we don't know that.
I know.
I don't want it to be that. I don't want a game that I have to play with other people. I want an Avengers game that I could play alone on my couch and not have to worry about other people.
You can do that
the Iron
too,
Man.
But...
the Iron Man game. You just described it.
Yeah.
You'll love it.
I have a feeling I'm not going to love it.
What are the other big releases this year besides the ones we all mentioned? We've already talked about
CyberCop 2077.
No, that'll be good. They can't fuck that up.
This they can.
What was the other one?
Madden. There's a new Madden game coming out this year.
No way. All right. Let's see what else we got here. At Helicus writes in and asks, thoughts on next-gen games being compatible with current-gen hardware? Do you think it'll hold back graphics and or scope of the titles the first few years?
Maybe.
I think that happens anyway with new consoles. Just because they're getting used to the new hardware. The developers, that is.
Well, and they're waiting for the user base to be there.
Right. So I don't think it's going to affect anything. It just always happens
I think it's
that way.
It's all good. This is better for the consumer.
Yep. Yeah. This is the way you want it to be. Good things are happening. This question we've had a million times. Well, not this way, though. At 8bitger asks, what would you do to save GameStop, but would it even be worth saving?
I think it's worth saving, and I'm going to say I have three words.
Why?
Because it's always good to have a video game focused shop, and I like the Think Geek stuff.
Okay.
My tip for them is GCU.
Right.
Pick it up from where Best Buy left out. Get people
get
in the
store. Locked in.
Okay. Yeah, get people to pre-order. You know what they should do? They should do a GCU, but only on pre-orders. So if you pre-order the game, you get a 20% discount.
I think they're going the opposite direction, though. I think the power-up rewards just got worse.
I know it did. I'm not saying they're doing this. I'm saying this is what I would do.
Sure. I'm
just
commenting
that
this seems like pretty far away from what they're chasing.
I don't know if it's fiscally responsible, but it's what I would do.
Well, it could be fiscally responsible in that it helps traffic into the store, right?
Yeah, and if you do it on pre-orders only, you don't have people coming in and saying, I want to buy this game and getting 20% off. It has to be something that they had already ordered in advance. So it helps them keep track of inventory better, maybe. And maybe they get an uptick in pre-orders, and you get people in the store, and when they're in the store, they buy... you know, a minifigure, and everybody wins.
I think they should add a ping pong table to every store. At least one.
No, that's not going to do
anything. That'll bring the people in. No?
No.
I don't even have any good ideas on how to save it, because I hope it saves itself, but I just don't see it. I can't fathom... what value they bring at this point.
They have a lot of locations.
Is that a plus or a minus?
I don't know.
With how quick shipping is online now, like it's so easy to find used games because that's, I mean, that's their, what they have that nobody else has is the U game. If you're going to buy a new game, you can do that any variety of places, including like Walmart, Target, Amazon, Best Buy. Like, there's nothing that differentiates Best Buy and, or GameStop in that area.
See, that's why they need the ping pong table.
Right. They don't have room for the ping pong table. They've got too many Funko Pops.
You can put Funko Pops underneath the ping pong table. So you have more space, actually.
That's okay. I'm on board with that idea.
See, I'm making a lot of sense all of a sudden. Oh, GameStop. All right.
I hope everybody does very well there.
Yeah, sell all the games. Stop. How about coffee? Can they sell coffee?
What I think they're going to do, I really think they're just going to limp along.
They're going to try to...
This console launch, and then they're...
Die?
They're going to maybe get a year or two out of this console launch, and then it's done. Like, that's the end.
Womp womp. All right. I hate to end the show on a bummer like that.
Well, it's a couple years out. We could. Okay. It's not a bummer yet. They have time to do something.
Right.
I just don't know what they can do that all the other retailers have failed to do.
Ping pong.
Do they need a pizza portal? What if they had a pizza portal in there?
Pizza and coffee. I'm on board with both of those things.
Lounge. They turn it to game lounge. Game stop. You come stop in and play games and hang out and don't buy anything.
Right. See, that's the problem.
I don't know if hanging out is what you want. I think they want people to come in, spend $3 on coffee, get a game to take home.
Right.
And then, and also a mystery minifigure.
Right.
Game stop and leave should be their new name.
Mm. Or maybe Starbucks should just sell video games. That'd be good too.
It seems more sustainable.
Right. Yeah, I don't really have any good answers for them.
Maybe Starbucks should buy GameStop.
No, they're not doing that.
Would you buy GameStop? If you had the money, Wombat, would you buy GameStop?
No. No. If I had the money to buy GameStop, I would just stop.
Stop buying.
It might be the time if you had the money right now, though, to buy them. And then if you could somehow convince somebody to buy them from you in about a year.
I don't know.
Think it over. Think it over.
I will. I'll talk to my...
Start counting your quarters.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'll talk to my advisors.
Good call.
Mm-hmm.
All right, let's... we'll have to think of better ideas for next week for games. For how we
everybody's homework.
GameStop. Yeah.
Save GameStop.
Yep. And get money for Wombat to buy them.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Start getting that together. Let's remind everybody to follow us on Twitter at GPD, at New Wombat, at Shipwreck, at Video Game Deals. And of course, let's remind everybody to visit untuckit.com and use code CADCAST for 20% off their first order. And let's remind everybody to listen to us next week.
Bread stud.
Hey, look! A Dungeons and Dragons ride! Wow, neat!
Give me a break.
Ranger, barbarian, magician, thief, cavalier, and acrobat.
Who was that?
That was Venger, the force of evil. I am Dungeon Master, your guide in the realm of Dungeons and Dragons.